أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Our dear listeners, the entire Muslim Ummah, today, this Tuesday, the 26th day of Ramadan, 1441, after the hijrah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 19th of May 2020, in the continuation of the commentary of the Holy Quran by Sheikh Hidrul Abdullah Maraya, alongside his reciter, we are still in the translation of the chapter, the Surah Al-Baqarah. Akramukum Allah, Bismillah.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Wa lakad ja'akum Musa bil-bayyinati thumma takattum al-ijla min ba'dihi wa antum zalimun.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين Our esteemed listeners, I greet you by saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu. In relation to this Quranic exegesis in the English language, we are still in the second Quranic chapter, that is Al-Baqarah, the cow. Insha'Allah, today the Quranic commentary will continue. Do not forget that it comes to you on the Barakata Family FM radio station, courtesy of its chief executive officer, the ordinary Malam Ahmad Issa, famously known as the ordinary president, in memory of his late father, Malam Issa Muhammad. May the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enrich him with the prime paradise on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَمَّا تَقَسْتُمَ الْعِجِلَ مِنْ بَعَدِهِ وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Indeed, Musa came to you with very apparent signs. Signs which affirmed his prophethood. And they were very evident. They were very clear. He came to you with clear signs. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ja'akum Musa bil bayyinati. Musa came to you with clear signs. And the revelation here was revealed during the time of the Jewish community that co-inhabited the city of Medina with the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and his few progeny. They were not the ones to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the book of Torah. They were not the ones the messenger of Allah, Musa, peace be upon him, displayed their signs before them, but their ancestors. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the contemporary children of Israel, and during the revelation time, he was telling the Jewish community of Medina, the clan of Nadir, Qurayza, and Qaynuqa, what transpired during the period of Musa, peace be upon him, in relation to their ancestors. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us one of the offenses the ancestors of the contemporary children of Israel perpetrated during the lifetime of Musa, peace be upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدَ جَاءَكُمْ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Verily, Musa came to you with evident signs, evident proofs, which really affirmed that he was indeed sent to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, that he was indeed sent to your ancestors by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happened? Now the signs which the messenger of Allah Musa took to the children of Israel during his lifetime were nine. The Quran says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى تِسْعَ آيَاتٍ. Verily, we have given Musa nine signs, nine proofs, with a view to affirming that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to the children of Israel. Of the signs, he had his famous stick. That stick, wherever he was to go, he would go with it. And whatever he wanted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him via the utilization of that stick. We came across a verse a few days ago where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when the people of Musa, peace be upon him, wanted drinking water, he struck a stone that was with him, and resultantly 12 springs gushed out of the stone which was struck by Musa, peace be upon him, with the stick. So that stick was one of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his messenger Musa, peace be upon him. And also, when his people together with him were to cross from one brink of the Red Sea to the other, he struck the sea with the stick, and resultantly the sea became divided into 12 units, which the clans of the children of Israel followed and reached the other bank of the river, of the sea. The stick. And the stick also, whenever he threw it, whenever the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, threw the stick on the floor, it would turn into a snake, a very big snake. So the stick was one of the proofs, one of the miracles which affirmed that really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had appointed Musa as his messenger. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى تِسْعَ آيَاتٍ. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his hand to be providing light. Whenever he put his hand underneath his armpit and remove it, it will turn into light. So his hand was producing light. So the hand that was producing light was one of the nine signs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Musa, peace be upon him. Also, the split of the Red Sea. The Red Sea got split into 12 units after it had been struck by Musa, peace be upon him, with his staff. And the children of Israel went through it with a view to crossing to the other side of the sea. And none of them, about 600,000 of them, crossed the river, crossed the sea to the other bank of it, but none of them had their dress soaked. And because the river became like a rock, So they were just passing. So none of them had the address soaked. So the split of the Red Sea was also a sign that really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to the children of Israel as a messenger. Were it not for being sent to the children of Israel by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wouldn't have been able to split the river just by striking it with his stick. Also the blood. There was a time the children of Israel witnessed something very, very miraculous. In Egypt, then during the reign of Pharaoh, the coasts, that means the courts, I beg your pardon, the courts, the coastal people, that means the tribal group of the Pharaoh, Al-Walid ibn Mus'af, were subjected to a very, very miraculous and difficult situation. Whenever they wanted to take water, the water would turn into blood in the container. And the entire water of Egypt that time became blood. But whenever the children of Israel came to the river with a view to collect some water, then they would collect the actual water. But to the cups, it was blood. The same pond, the same sea, the same river, the same water in a container, the children of Israel would take it as water. But whenever they handed it over to the Copts, the Coptics, then it will turn into blood. Immediately, the container was taken to one of the children of Israel, it will turn into water. So, the turning of water into blood, as it affected the Copts at that material time, was also a clear sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa as his messenger. The frogs. There was also a time, whatever the children of the Copts wanted to make use of would turn into a frog. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled their town with frogs. But the frogs were not disturbing the children of Israel. Only the tribal group to which the Pharaoh belonged experienced this pestilence. Everything of theirs became what? Filled with frog. Also the locust, The locust also filled their town of the ancient Egypt. But the locust were not disturbing the children of Israel. They were only disturbing the Copts, the tribal group to which the Pharaoh belonged. Also the lice, Al-Qummal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled their town also with lice. Also years of famine, drought, no food security. They didn't have food for many years because Allah was testing them to know that he was one and he was the one to be worshipped alone, not Pharaoh. Also the flood. There was a time the entire city of theirs or the entire town of theirs became filled with water, water of floods. So the aforementioned were the nine signs which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the messenger of Allah Musa, peace be upon him. All of them affirmed that he was truly a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. ثُمَّ اتَّقَتُمُ الْعِجِلَ مِنْ بَعَدِهِ. Then subsequently you worshipped the calf. You worshipped the calf which was molded for you by a Samiri. ثُمَّ اتَّقَتُمُ الْعِجِلَ مِنْ بَعَدِهِ. وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. After the messenger of Allah Musa had gone to the Mount Sinai with a view to having a discussion with his Lord, after he had left, you decided to worship a calf that was molded for you by a Samiri. وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. While you were wrongdoers. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this verse, teaches us that really all the messengers he has sent to various communities had miracles. Because the miracles he gave to Musa, peace be upon him, were not the miracles that he only gave to Musa, peace be upon him. This implies that other messengers of Allah too were accorded some signs, some miracles, with a view to affirming that they were truly sent to their various communities by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as messengers. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell us here that he gave Musa signs, clear proofs, it implies that other colleagues of his, peace be upon them, were also given clear signs with a view to affirming that they were truly sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to their various communities. Like in the case of our own generation, the generation of Muhammad, peace be upon him, our greatest clear sign is the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is the greatest miracle of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him. And all other miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to all the messengers who came prior to the coming of Muhammad, peace be upon him, were given to him and were meant to be better than the miracles of his colleagues who were sent to various communities prior to his advent. The verse also indicates that worshipping anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an act of wrongdoing. And the perpetrators of such act are wrongdoers. They are a zalimun, because the greatest wrongdoing is polytheism. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alongside other deities is the greatest act of wrongdoing. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Verily, polytheism la zulmun azim is a great wrongdoing, great operation. Naam.
Wa dhakarna mithaqakum wa rafa'na fawqakum al-tur khudhu ma ataynakum bi quwwatin wasma'u qalu sami'na wa asayna وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ قُلْ بِئْسَمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِهِ إِيمَانُكُمْ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورَ خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاسْمَعُوا قالوا سمعنا وعصينا وأشربوا في قلوبهم والعجل بكفرهم قل بئس ما يأمركم به إيمانكم إن كنتم مؤمنين. نعم. وإذا أخذنا
ميثاقكم.
And call to your minds when we took your covenant. وإذا أخذنا ميثاقكم. Remember when we took your covenant. نعم.
وَرَفَعْنَا
فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ. And we raised above you the mount. Previously, we interpreted a verse that was similar to this one. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Torah to the then children of Israel, they refused to adhere strictly to its instructions. In other words, they refused to obey the teachings, tenets, and injunctions of the Torah. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Angel Gabriel to raise up the Mount Sinai above them and subsequently said to them, look up, you either receive the Torah or I will release this mount to fall on you. Consequently, they had nothing to do but to accept the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were more than 600 people at that, 600,000 people at that material time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised up the Mount Sinai by asking Angel Gabriel to do so. And subsequently told the children of Israel, if you refused to accept this divine revelation, I will release this mount on you so that you could all get perished. So there was nothing they could do but to accept the Torah. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells us. We raise above you the mount. Which mount? Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is presently in Egypt, in a territory called the Sinai Peninsula. Now, Kuzuma ataynakum biquwwatin wasma'u. Kuzuma ataynakum. While we were saying to them, hold firmly to what we have given you, to what we have revealed to you. This is a metaphorical statement. It means that adhere strictly to the teachings, tenets, and injunctions of what we have given to you as a revelation. Uphold the sanctity of the book of Torah which we had revealed to you. That was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the children of Israel when he was to, when he asked the angel Gabriel to raise above them the Mount Sinai. That after they agreed to accept the Torah, after they agreed to live their lives in accordance with the teachings of the Torah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, hold firmly, khuzuma ataynakum, hold, biquwwatin, firmly, with the utmost perseverance, hold it. That means, act in accordance with its teachings, act in accordance with its tenets and injunctions. Kuzuma ataynakum biquwwatin waskuru ma fihi
wasma'u,
and hearken, waskuru ma fihi, and hearken to the law therein. That means all the laws that are contained in this revelation, you shall abide by it. Hearken to the laws which are fixed in the book of Torah which I have revealed to you through my messenger Musa, peace be upon him. Wasma'u, and also listen to it. That means obey it with the utmost obedience. Naam.
Qalu sami'ina wa asayna.
In response, qalu, they said, sami'ina wa asayna, we hear, but definitely we are going to disobey. Sami'ina, we've heard, O our Lord, what you have said to us through your messenger Musa, but we are not going to obey. Sami'ina wa asayna, they said, we heard and disobeyed. Here, the Jewish community
that was inhabiting the city of Medina were not the ones who directly said this, but their parents, their ancestors. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says that they said, meaning the children of Israel who co-inhabited the city of Medina were the ones who said it. Why? Because they approved what their ancestors perpetrated. They accepted what their ancestors perpetrated, what their ancestors said. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says to them, قَالُوا سَمِئِنَا وَأَسَيْنَا. They said, he means the children of Israel who happened to be the members of the community of Musa, peace be upon him, were the one who said what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions. سَمِئِنَا وَأَسَيْنَا. نعم وَأُشْرِبُوا
وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجِلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ.
Undoubtedly, they worshipped a calf which was molded for them by Asamiri. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجِلَ. Their hearts became saturated with the love of the calf. As if we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell us what led the children of Israel to worship a calf. Allah said it was due to the intense love they had for the calf. Their hearts became so saturated with the love of the calf. Bikufrihim, due to their disbelief. They allowed their hearts to become so saturated with the love of the calf to the extent that they worshipped it. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the contemporary children of Israel of some of the dastardly acts which were perpetrated by their ancestors during the period of Musa, peace be upon him. Of which here is the inability of their ancestors. In other words, the inability of the Jewish community's ancestors, the Jewish community of Medina, their ancestors were unable to uphold the sanctity of the covenant which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took. The pledge, the bilateral pledge between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was abused. They were not able to uphold the sanctity of that covenant. Virtually all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to do, that means what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the ancestors of the Medinite Jewish community to do, they couldn't do it. They violated Allah's instructions. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of the atrocities which were committed by their ancestors. That contrary to their claim that they were so dear to Allah, that they were sons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their ancestors perpetrated a lot of wrongdoings. Hence, what they always say that there was never a time any of them contravened any law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is false. So here the verse exposes what the ancestors of the Medinite Jewish community perpetrated during the time of Musa, peace be upon him. Of the act which they perpetrated at that material time badly was their inability, as I mentioned earlier, to respect the sanctity of Allah's covenant with them. And they were the ones who clamored for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reveal a book to them with a view to upholding
its tenets and teachings. But when eventually it was revealed to them, they disrespected it. They didn't act on the basis of its teachings. They disrespected it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even the Torah, before they agreed to live their lives in accordance to its teachings, we had to raise above them the Mount Sinai. That was what led them to accept the Torah. In other words, that was what led them to agree that they would walk in accordance with the teachings of the Torah. But in spite of that pledge, they couldn't. They violated the sanctity of the pledge they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were also very pompous. They were also very aggressive in terms of the commission of transgression. Because they even told the messenger of Allah, Musa, peace be upon him, that they heard the words of Allah, but they would disobey them. Frankly, they told the messenger of Allah, Musa, peace be upon him, that Sami'ina wa asaina. We heard, really, we heard the words of Allah, wa asaina, but we violated them. Who did that? Who said that? It was done and said by the ancestors of the Medinite Jewish community of Banu Nadir, Banu Qurayza, and Banu Qaynuqa. That was the clan of Nadir, the clan of Qurayza, and the clan of Qaynuqa. Their ancestors were the one who said this to the messenger of Allah, Musa, peace be upon him. Here we could deduce a lesson that when one hears the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are then expected subsequently to put them into practice. They are expected to obey them. Obeying Allah's words means putting the words into practice. If the words have enjoined you to do something, then you are to do it on the basis of your capacities. If the words have said to you that you should abstain from the commission of Act A or Act B, it means you are expected, with a view to obeying Allah's word, to abstain from what the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have asked you to keep away from. Also, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions hearts again. Their hearts were saturated with the love of the calf due to their disbelief. It implies here that no matter how you love someone, you should not worship them. No matter how you love anything, you should not worship them. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be worshipped. No matter how you love something, no matter how you love someone, they are not qualified undoubtedly to be worshipped. No matter, for instance, we love the messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, we can't worship him. Because he too worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Undoubtedly, the messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the head of all the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the chief servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, no matter how you love the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, if you worship him, it means you have now violated your belief. You have now committed the act of apostasy. You are now an apostate. So no one is to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the verse also implies that what really makes one to worship something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the heart. the heart. If the heart is not pure, it may lead one to the commission of polytheism. The children of Israel during the time of Musa, peace be upon him, allowed their hearts to become so saturated with the love of the calf, which was molded for them by Asamiri. What led them to its worship was nothing but the love they had for the calf. This implies that we should do all that we can, as we said yesterday, to purify our hearts through the invocation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should always be invoking his names. In other words, we should always be invoking him subhanahu wa ta'ala. By so doing, our hearts will become very, very pure. Because the invocation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the solitary polisher of the hearts. The hearts collectively have nothing to polish them, but the invocation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, zikrullah. Naam.
قل بئس ما يأمركم به إيمانكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قل بئس ما يأمركم به إيمانكم. قل بئس ما يأمركم به إيمانكم إن كنتم مؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قل بئس ما يأمركم به إيمانكم. قل say, bisa ma ya'murukum bihi imanukum. What your faith commands you to do is blemished. It's something that is laden with blemish. Bisa, woe to it. Woe to it is blemish. It is something that is terribly bad. In Arabic, bi'isa, that means it is bad. Bi'isa, bi'isa ma ya'murukum bihi imanukum in kuntum mu'minin. Because they kept on saying that they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they believed in the messengerhood of Musa, peace be upon him, they believed in whatever Musa, peace be upon him, wanted them to believe in. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here belies them by saying that they didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't have faith. If they really had faith, why did they say in relation to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they heard but they would disobey? Why? Could a believer say such? This implies that they didn't believe in the articles of faith during the time of Musa, peace be upon him. And also, a true believer would not have worshipped anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in their own case, they worshipped a calf which was molded in their presence. They worshipped a calf that was molded in their presence by Asamiri. This clearly showcases that they didn't believe as they proclaimed. Because if they were to be believers, they wouldn't have worshipped anything or anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal bisa ma ya'murukum bihi imanukum in kuntum mu'minin. If truly you are believers and you have been committing such the studly acts, it means what your faith has commanded you to do was something that was terribly bad. Now.
قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَالِسَةً مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَالِسَةً مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. This verse was revealed when some Jews in the city of Medina were telling the companions of Muhammad, peace be upon him,
that the hereafter was meant for them exclusively. That if one were not to be a Jew, they would not have a place in the paradise. The eternal life was meant for them exclusively according to their assertion. That was what they were asserting in the city of Medina. And prior to that period, their ancestors too asserted such, that the eternal life was meant exclusively for the Jews to enjoy. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws a challenge to them. Call, oh my messenger Muhammad, say to the Jews who have been saying that the next life is exclusively for them, that the pleasure of the next life is not for anyone but for themselves. The Jews were the one to enjoy in the next life exclusively. Tell them, وَلِنْكَانَ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَالِصَةً مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ, exclusively for you, مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ, with the exception of other people. Tell them, فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ, then wish for yourselves death. Because what can lead you to enjoy in the next life is death. Because the enjoyment of the next life cannot be got here. Therefore, if you truly know that the next life is exclusively for you, wish for yourselves to die so that you could just go and enjoy in the next life. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَتْ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ إِنَّ اللَّهِ خَالِصَةً مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indirectly tells us that the Jews would never wish death for themselves. Why? Because they really know that the next life is not for them. Because you are living here in this life suffering. You are living in this life being pelted with pebbles by small children. You are living in this life, people are saying that you have grabbed the land of the Palestinian people. You are living in this life, people are always cursing you. People are always telling you of the atrocities that were perpetrated by your ancestors. Then if you truly know that you are going to enjoy in the next life exclusively, and you cannot get such an enjoyment here in this life, you can only get it after death, then why can't you wish for yourself to die? So that you could just go and enjoy the enjoyment. So here, in kuntum sadiqin, if you are truly sincere, if you are truly honest, that the next life is yours exclusively, then wish to die. Wish to die. Because if you remain on this planet Earth, you are definitely not going to get the eternal enjoyment. Then if you are truly saying the truth, that all other members of the humankind are not going to enjoy in the next life, the next life's enjoyment has been reserved for the Jews, then wish to die so that you could just go and enjoy. Now,
وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ.
Allah says, وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. Allah says, for the Jews to wish death for themselves, no, this is something that is not going to be done by them. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوْهُ أَبَدًا. Forever, they will never wish death for themselves. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوْهُ أَبَدًا. بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ.
as a result of what they have conducted, as a result of what they have perpetrated. They know their actions were bad. Hence, they could not demand death for themselves, because they knew if they went to the next life at that material time, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish them after their engravement. Hence, they would never seek to die because of their acts. If someone knows that their acts are good, definitely they will do what? They would yearn for them to receive their enjoyment instantly. And the eternal enjoyment can only be derived after death. So the Jews of the time of Musa, peace be upon him, knew that they really perpetrated the act of mischief. And they were certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish them. So that was why they didn't yearn for themselves to die. Likewise, the Jewish community of Medina during the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him, they equally knew what they were conducting in relation to deeds. They knew that their deeds were bad, because they rejected the messengerhood of Muhammad, peace be upon him. They didn't believe in the revelation he brought to the city of Medina after they had read such in the book that was revealed to them, the Torah. Hence, they too wouldn't have yearned for themselves to die. Wallahu alimun bizalimin. Wallahu Allah alimun is all knowing bizalimin about the wrongdoers. The wrongdoers here are the Jewish communities which did not believe in the revelation of Muhammad, peace be upon him. After such was mentioned in the book that was revealed to them, the Torah. So they are, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here refers them here as wrongdoers. We could deduce some lessons from the two verses which have just been simultaneously interpreted. One, the verse affirms that the day of reckoning is certain. Definitely it will come. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions it. And also the verse affirms that the enjoyment of the eternal life is not going to be exclusive for the Jews, but for all human beings who have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. Whether one is a Jew or not, if they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His grace, they will find the paradise as their place of inhabitation in the next life. Also, the verse here affirms that the Jews were not honest in relation to spiritual acts, because they violated the sanctity of the revelation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to them through His messenger Musa, peace be upon him. They violated it. So as far as spiritual acts are concerned, even most of the contemporary Jews are not honest and sincere in relation to spiritual acts, in relation, in other words, to spiritual issues. Also, the two verses collectively affirm that death is certain. It is inevitable. Everyone must die. Everyone must die. And the verse also affirms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. Whatever you do in private, it is certainly known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even before its commission. Whatever you commit in private, it is equally known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even prior to its commission. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. There is nothing like private and public in relation to the commission of acts in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows everything before even its creation. In relation to acts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything in relation to acts before their commission. If you commit an act that is considered to be righteous now, before its commission, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew it was going to be committed by you. Conversely, if you commit any act which is considered to be bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala undoubtedly knew it even prior to its commission. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. Naam, wala tajidannahum.
ولتجدنهم أحرص الناس على حياة ومن الذين أشركوا يود أحدهم لو يعمر ألف سنة وما هو بمزحزحه من العذاب أن يعمر والله بصير بما يعملون
ولتجدنهم أحرص الناس على حياة ومن الذين أشركوا يود أحدهم لو يعمر ألف سنة وما هو بمزحزحه من العذاب أن يعمر والله بصير بما يعملون. Prior to the interpretation of the verse which has just been recited by the reciter, I would like to mention just one or two more lessons in relation to the two verses which were interpreted earlier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the hands here. Bima qaddamat aydihim. Bima qaddamat aydihim, as I said during the interpretation, it is a metaphorical statement. It means due to what they perpetrated. It implies here that whenever you notice that someone fears death, it means they know that their actions are bad. Because if you are certain that if you are righteous, the next life will definitely be better than the present one, then why can't you wish to have it? But in spite of that, the Islamic jurisprudence prohibits, for one, through a very sound prophetic tradition, to wish for themselves to die. Because if you are a righteous servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if your lifespan is extended, for instance, it means you are going to accumulate more divine rewards to the ones you have already garnered. And if you happen to be very sinful and your life is extended, it means such extension will serve as an opportunity for you to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. But it is a very, very apparent sign of lack of belief for one to fear death. Whatever happens, if you are righteous, you are ready to accept it. And also the verse affirms that all and sundry have their own stipulated life spans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never take your life prior to the advent of your lifespan, your stipulated life span. And when the time comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never add a second to your stipulated life span. So this clearly showcases that the issue of death is something that should be resigned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively.
For time constraint, we are going to have a pause here in relation to the Quranic exegesis, and inshallah tomorrow the commentary continues. Do not forget that it comes to you on the Barakat Family FM radio station, courtesy of its Chief Executive Officer, the Ordinary Malam Ahmad Isa, famously known as the Ordinary President, in memory of his late father, Malam Isa Muhammad. We implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enrich him with the prime paradise alongside our parents and Islamic jurists and also our spiritual leaders in the eternal life. Subhanallah, a'udhu billahi minashaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, arrahmanir rahim, maliki yawmiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, ihdinas siratal mustaqim, siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin, amin. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله